Well, good morning, everyone. There's a story told of a poor widow who had several kids, and every morning she would step out on her front porch and just praise the Lord. And she would then pray, Lord, you know that we don't have any food, and you know our needs and for the provision that we need. But meanwhile, the man next door was an atheist, and he was aggravated at this lady's persistent coming out every day to praise the Lord on her front step, on her front porch. So one day he went out and he bought a carload of groceries and put it on the widow's front door, at the front door on the porch of the widow, and he rang the doorbell and went and ran and hid in the bushes. And the woman came out and saw the groceries and just began to praise the Lord for the provision and giving thanks for the provision. And then at that moment, the man jumped out of the bush. He says, aha. He says, your non-existent God didn't give you those groceries. I did. I bought them. What do you have to say about that? And the woman shouted with praise. She says, Lord, not only did you give me the provision, but you made the devil pay for it. As we begin this season of Advent, when we celebrate the coming of Christ into the world, and we acknowledge and wait for his return, I would want to look at an important aspect in our walk with the Lord, and that is our praise to him. So what does praise have to do with the readings that we just read? I think they have a lot to do with it, actually. Jesus has just laid out some pretty graphic illustrations about his return. The sun's going to be darkened, the moon will not give light, Jesus returning in the clouds, and the angels gathering the elect. Those are some pretty heavy words. But if Jesus is God incarnate, and he is, then these things are going to happen. And they will happen at a time that we do not know. It will happen in an instant. But in the meantime, while we wait for that moment, Jesus emphasizes two words, and we have heard variations of these words over the last few weeks. Jesus said three times in our gospel today, and referenced it one time, to stay awake. Staying awake doesn't mean that Jesus is expecting us not to get any sleep for the rest of our lives until he comes. He doesn't expect us to sit by the window looking for the signs. He is reminding us to stay focused on him, to be spiritually awake. It's easy to be hurried in a fast-paced world that we live in and focus on things of the Lord only like on the weekend, or maybe when we go to a Bible study, or only when we open the Word at home. Praise actually sets our heart and our mind in an attitude of anticipation. We become focused on the magnitude of who God is. And as we praise him for who he is and what he has done and for what he will do, praise is actually just an aspect of our worship to him. We've covered this before from time to time, but in review, worship is a reflection of who we are in Christ. Our worship to the Lord is how we live our lives in his service, no matter where we are or what we are doing in life. When we come together to celebrate who Jesus is and what he's done for us, that's a part of worship. Doing what God called us to do in life is also a part of worship. You do what you do in that job or as a service to the Lord. How we treat others on the job is an act of worship. Your work ethic is an act of worship. The way you treat customers is an act of worship. The way you drive down I-75 is an act of worship. Wow. Wherever we are, wherever we do, reflects on our relationship with Christ. Our giving is a reflection of our love for the Lord. So worship covers a lot of territory in our lives. When Jesus met that woman at the well, remember that story? He came up on the Samaritan woman at the well. And he said this, "But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." Now, this woman could only relate to worship as being in a place. She thought the mountain where she was at, that's where her people were worshiping. So the mountain was the place of worship. And Jesus, the Son of God, comes along and reveals to her how salvation really, where salvation really comes from. And so as a result, the way of worship will change. There's going to be a heart change. There's going to be a transformation that will change our whole attitude about God. In other words, he is telling this woman, if you think that worship happens only on the mountain or in a temple, that's only part of it. Something greater is coming that's going to rock your world. Why? Because we become the temple where worship resides, which means wherever you are, you are representing Christ as a means of worship. When you've allowed Christ into your life and you are walking, you are a walking temple where worship takes place. It is a conscious act of us being in communion with God through the Holy Spirit, and that is that he has made available to us through Jesus Christ. So worship really is how we live our lives in our business, in our play, in our family, in our giving, and in our praise, which is where I want to pick up this subject. Because it is so often an area that we might neglect in our lives. You see, praise is an aspect of our surrendering to God. It's a sacrifice of praise. Praise is an aspect of the offering that we give back to him for what he has done for us. Think of a child, maybe your child or a grandchild, who has accomplished something wonderful in their work at school or maybe a recital of some sort. And we lavish them with praise and appreciation for a job well done. Now magnify that to the nth degree on what God has done for us. He is our creator. He is our source of light and life. He loved us so much that he died for us. He offered salvation for us. He stepped down out of heaven to give us this wonderful opportunity. And he's coming back. Praise is not something for us. It is something that we give back to God out of our gratitude and our thanks to him. And believe it or not, there is power in praise. Just look at Paul and Silas. Remember that story when Paul and Silas were in the prison? They were hounding, there was a slave girl who was hounding them. She was a fortune teller. And Paul turns around and casts the demon out of her, which created an uproar because that was the livelihood of the slave owner. And now it's gone. And so they flogged them and throw them into prison. But what did they do? Well, let's read it. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now that's powerful praise, wouldn't you think? But that's not all. They didn't leave that prison. They could have walked right out. They became a witness to the jailer, and the jailer took them home and cleaned them up, and then the whole family came to Christ. In what was seemed to be the worst of situations, God used for his glory, for his purpose in that particular time, at that particular moment. Why? Because in the dimmest of circumstances, they remained spiritually awake and offered praise to God. Now, you most likely won't be thrown into a dungeon, at least I hope not. However, when we offer our praises to God, there is a loosening taking place. No longer are we focused on just the bills. No longer are we focused on the stresses of life. No longer are we focused on the hassles that are all around us. Our focus is totally on God. When you read through the Psalms, you will come to see time after time after time the word praise. I did a word search the other day just on that word praise, and you hit Psalms, and it magnifies all the way from 1 to 150. It's there. I will sing praises. I will offer praise and thanksgiving. You are worthy of praise. His praise will continually be on my mouth. The Lord is greatly to be praised. Even when the psalmist is reflecting on the worst of situations, nothing matters more than offering God praise. David, who wrote most of the Psalms, was excited about God. It kept him ready at a moment's notice for whatever was coming to him. Are coming at him. How about us? Are we excited about the Lord? Are we excited that he loved us so much that he was willing to die for us? Are you excited that he is returning to come back for us? Are you excited that through having this wonderful relationship with our Creator, that we will be spending eternity with him? Because guess what? Guess what we're going to be doing when we get there? When the Apostle John was exiled in the Isle of Patmos, he was given a revelation of what the end times would look like. And in that revelation, he saw what was going to be like in heaven. He saw the multitudes of people who were around the throne, and they were all praising God. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Praise should be a part of who we are and what we do. Psalm 22 reminds us, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Inhabits means to enter into. God enters into our praise. Praise is an outpouring of ourselves to him in song and in prayer. You don't need a master's degree in music to praise God. You don't need to be Carla to praise God. She's wonderful. All you need is just to open your heart to him. Even as a Christian, it's easy to be distracted away from God if we allow it. It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and the distractions it can bring, especially this time of year. But once we allow ourselves to break through whatever it is that is bothering us, and allow ourselves to just praise him, those chains, so to speak, that seem to bind us are shaken loose. Just as the physical chains that bound Paul and Silas were broken, the spiritual chains that sometimes bind us are broken as well. There's power in praise. I want to encourage you to follow the Spirit of God wherever he is in your life. He is with you. As all of you know, we have a lot of new businesses opening around us. Our new mall has been a big attraction. The latest and greatest stores and supermarkets are surrounding us. And to some, that's a pain. But the fact is, people are flocking to these places. Some of those things are fun to see. However, wouldn't it be nice if people were racing to the church on Sunday morning to praise God and offer themselves to him? Wouldn't it be nice if the world around us was as excited about Christ, what Christ did for us, as they are about the commercial side of Christmas that we're preparing for? There is absolutely no reason we can't remind them. We can certainly be a witness as God opens the door for us. But also, let your praises be known to the Lord in the midst of all that rush and hurriedness and busyness. The Holy Spirit truly encounters in the praises of his people. I want you to have the freedom to praise him here in this place. But most of all, I want you to know that your worship of Jesus Christ is a never-ending process. It's not just here on the weekend. And it doesn't stop as you leave here today. As we enter this season of Advent, as we remember the coming of the Lord into this world, and as we await his return, give him honor due his name. Let us worship him in spirit and in truth and show him the glory that he is. May we pray. And praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming back, and we wait for that, Lord God, with anticipation. In the meantime, Lord, we do praise you. We thank you for what you are doing and going to do. We thank you that you care about every aspect of our lives, no matter what situation we are in. You are there, Lord God, and you want to guide us through this life, guide us through this season, guide us through this time in our lives. And so, Father, until the time we come home with you or the time that you come back, we praise you, Father, for all that you are doing and will do in each of our lives. And as we leave this place today, we continue to praise you, Lord God, that you will guide us and provide and let us be a witness to those who have never heard this message, a message about you before. So, Father, use us mightily, and we give it all to you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.